This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It is 7:07, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Hour number two of a happy hump day, Trump Day begins. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. I've got your code words so you can win Rock the Country tickets. Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and more coming for a two-day concert, Ocala, May 9th and 10th. Tickets are available for sale at Rock the Country. They're $139 each. I'm sorry, rockthecountry.com. But right now you could win them. You might even be in the running for the general admission plus tickets. They give you a special close-to-the-stage viewing, exclusive bar, special entrance, ooh, and premium restrooms. Bidet included? I doubt it. But anyway, you want to text the word ROCK to 20357. That's ROCK, R-O-C-K. Text it to 20357. Data and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Some of your top stories. Looks like there could be a Middle East deal, and I mean there is a deal, yes, on the table, and but hopefully good things will happen as a result. But as long as there's Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthis, and other groups that are funded by Iran, as long as they all exist in any capacity, just it's going to always be a matter of time, not if, it'll be when.
Well, that's why you heard the quote. You heard Netanyahu. Hey, you break it, we're coming after you.
Absolutely. So, and that's you. You want somebody to tell you, can't be too tough. You got. And then, interesting thing, this whole past hour, basically, we've been talking about code enforcement. The story starts in Gilchrist County, somebody building basically a lean-to, using all the top-notch stuff. This wasn't built with sticks. And code enforcement apparently came by and said, stop work order. And if they want that structure, I guess, built, first of all, you have to have an engineer's approval. So I'm assuming you'd have to have some kind of drawings and that an engineer would have to sign off on it. All this just for a little lean-to in which to cover the little family boat.
On 10 acres, by the way. This is not a neighborhood thing going on.
Exactly. And it's in a rural area, which I think makes a difference as well. And we had a code enforcement guy call up a little bit earlier. And I feel for you, and I'm not diminishing the job per se and its importance overall. I think we all agree that you want to make sure that things where people are going to be living are going to be built in at least a reasonably sound way. So everybody's invested in that. And that's where the buck stops. It's like, wait a second. Really? One guy called in and said, oh, yeah, he got in trouble because he was putting siding on his home. Another guy got in trouble. He was putting windows in. I get it, pulling a permit. Now, that's one thing. But a permit that requires engineering on a lean-to, that's just absurd. And listen to me out, because the building inspector made a great point. He talked about wind loads. We live in Florida. We have to pay attention to wind loads, and that's why we give you, the kind of hurricane coverage that we do. Now, some of the structures now are like, 150 mile an hour wind load structures to stand up to that. Man, that is awesome. That is great. We've come a long way. But they said the alternative in Gilchrist County, they said, you can't build that structure, but why don't you use one of these, the temporary structure with the poles and the tarp over it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, they're hideous, but you know what? If you have a wind load, they will break down much, much faster than any real structure, and it becomes the poles and the tarps become sails and missiles.
Mm-hmm.
So my point here is some government is good. Government overreach is bad. Some people are good at their job, like inspectors. Other ones are like drunk little Nazis with a gun running around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There you go. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Randy, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, great. Hey, just a little insight. Being from Gilchrist, the laws are on the books. I mean, at this day and age, if you're going to do something, check. I'm not. You know, saying that you can do whatever you want. But check before, because last 2 years, we've had a lot of issues out in Gilchrist and the government out there. We had a chance to remove some of those commissioners that have been nitpicking. And remember one thing, the inspector's not going to get there on himself. He's going to get called to go out there. Somebody's calling him. So it's either Richard or Karen, or because of the issues that we've been having for the last 2 years, he could be targeted. And we've seen that coming up lately out there with the inspection issues and structures out there. But they're on the books. Check before you do something. And it's easy to fix. I've dealt with that inspector, and he's a great guy. Believe it or not, he'll work with you.
Well, I mean, are you going to pay for an engineer to engineer a lean-to?
Well, that's everywhere, Bob. It's all through Florida. If you do something that you didn't get a permit for, and it's on the books because you voted for those officials who put it on the books, then you're stuck.
It seems like the law is never enforced equally. There are people that take advantage of it. They basically have junkyards they're running, you know, especially in these rural areas. They live in, somebody's trailers they rent out that should have been condemned 30 years ago, but they're going to come after somebody who has a really nice homestead on 10 acres and doing nothing but improving the property, unbelievably so compared to what it was, and yet we're going to punish them and say, oh yeah, you got to have an engineer for it. Just doesn't make sense. And especially when they go, but you can have a temporary thing made up of poles and tarps that if they go flying, they're definitely going to kill people. It just, again, it doesn't make sense. And you've caved in, Randy, and others. Everybody's caving in. They're like, well, you know, that's the way it is. If you move into a neighborhood and you know they've got a strict HOA, well, that's one thing. You know it going in. But as government begins to spread, we've got to employ all these code enforcement people. We got to have all these people, you know, downtown to approve these things. All this paperwork has to be done. You know, and who's paying for all that? The taxpayers are paying. Then they make an improvement and they pay again. Look, this is going to be the era of smaller government. And if you think it's just going to be the feds and Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, I'm telling you, it's going to come down the line, and it needs to. It absolutely needs to. Jim, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. Same thing. Somebody called in on him. Somebody called in on them. There's no way that would happen. But I will tell you this, the inspectors and the code enforcement people are just as bad as every other person that puts something in their yard. I did some work for one of our city, he's higher up now. I did some work for him without pulling a permit for his whole house. There was people working there day in and day out that we did work on, never pulled a permit. And he was on the city council at the time.
Wow. Wow. Well, there you go. Ocala Bill, you're on the air.
I built a porch onto the front of the house, and my brother told me, do not connect it to the house. It'll raise the property value. So I didn't connect it to the house, but I came home one day, and there's a card from Marion County, call this guy. I never called them. They never came back. My porch is still standing, bro.
Wow. It's amazing. It didn't just crumble. Folks, I'm not abolishing all, forms of government or codes or anything else, but how far do you want to go? Why don't we just do door-to-door inspections everywhere? Let's start fining everyone.
Don't give me any ideas.
That's not supposed to be America. That's not the America that our founding fathers had in mind at all. Make sure you have permission to sneeze. Make sure you have permission. What? Are we Americans? Are we going to stand up or not? Yeah, you can tell it's bugging me. So now it's your turn. What's bugging you? Could be anything. Call in, air it out, get it off your chest. What's bugging you? It's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Call now, 877-975-9825. Did I say Happy Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah.
Keep it light?
I'm not happy. I'm very sad.
I'm a little confused. Maybe you can help me out here.
What do you think?
On a roller coaster of emotion.
I'm gonna scream.
Time to air it out.
Scream.
What's bugging you?
I'm so excited.
Call now. News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It's 7:20. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Live and local on a happy hump day, Trump Day. Time now for What's Bugging You? A chance for you to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. Like I said, 877-975-9825. Let's go to Larry. What's bugging you?
Hey, Bob. What's bugging me is the in Clay County where I live, last time I checked, there are 239 different permits you have to have at some point, depending on what you're doing as a property owner in our county. I call it Pay County anymore. It's getting out of hand.
Yeah. Again, is there a need for that kind of thing? Absolutely. Have they gone way too far? I think they absolutely have. Let's go to Hangman. What's bugging you?
Yeah, Marion County, I tried to put a bird bath in my backyard, and I had to have a permit. So my suggestion is just get 6 acres in Alaska. They don't have to tell you to do anything like that. They just said just keep away from the bears and everything. So, I mean, yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, look, you live in a neighborhood. Nobody wants to live next door to, you know, the junkyard or the person that's, you know, got building these huge structures where plywood's going to fly all over the place in the case of a storm. That's different. You live on 10 acres and you're using, you know, good construction principles. Come on. John, what's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone out there. What's bugging me is a lot. Why haven't the Biden-Harris administration been charged with endless crimes against humanity for their lax, shoddy border policies?
I'm glad you brought that up. You know what is interesting? We have code enforcement where if you touch something on your house, you're in trouble, and yeah, they'll enforce it.
Yes.
And there could be fines.
Yes.
They could put a lien on your house. They could put they could make a judgment against you. Heck, I don't know. There might even be jail involved. Isn't that funny that in your local neighborhood, that code enforcement is stronger than all of our border enforcement under Joe Biden? Isn't
wow,
that interesting?
That is just
when
sad.
You think of it that way?
That's a messed up
isn't
situation.
Isn't that bad?
Yep.
Yeah. 877-975-9825. Call in now for What's Bugging You, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. And good morning, Joe. What's bugging you? Joe, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I was in a bad area. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's bugging you?
Oh, okay. Lincoln Lady, the young girl that died.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley.
I'm sorry. What's bugging me is that guy that killed her, and the word guy is really too good for him. That's the poor family and us. We got to go pay again now. Now we got to pay for this guy to be in prison for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah, and all the appeals that I'm sure they're going to run through and the public defenders and all that. Yeah, we're going to pay for that,
mm-hmm.
Pay to feed him, pay to house him, all that, and he never should have been in the country.
That's so irritating.
Can't prevent all crime, but if you prevent bad people from being allowed here,
mm-hmm.
You can prevent a lot of bad stuff.
Absolutely.
We haven't seen anything yet, unfortunately. Gosh, this is tough because I'm trying to do, really, it's the day before Thanksgiving. I wrote down attitude of gratitude. I wrote down thankful.
And all we've had so far is the attitude.
Yeah.
That's right. That's okay, though.
All right, you want me to lighten it up right now?
Know what you got.
What's bugging me?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Stuffing or dressing?
Oh.
Oh.
Probably depends where you're from.
Okay.
And maybe what you actually do with it.
now you're getting personal.
Well, is it getting stuffed? Or is it prepared in the pan?
Is that what makes the difference?
As a separate dressing, which is more of a dry kind of thing. Typically.
I think you explained that very well. You think most people would agree with that? It's stuffing if it was stuffed into the bird.
Yeah.
What if you use the same material, you stick it in the bird, and you do a little on the side? That's how my mom used to do it.
Gotcha.
And she would use like a bread, I guess you'd call it a bread type stuffing, and celery in there. It was really good. And then my ex-mother-in-law, she made a dressing in a big pan, and it have some sausage in it and stuff.
Interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
And again, that's regional.
Awesome.
You go up the Northeast, they put clams in it or something. Yeah, I mean,
but what do they call it?
Who knows what they call it? So we do like a traditional cornbread is as opposed to bread. That's where you start. You make your cornbread as your base. And mom puts the celery and the onions in that, so it's already in and cooks into the flavor, and then that's what turns into your dressing. Well, and then you got the gravy to go with it.
The one I was referring to is cornbread based too, but one of the secret ingredients or whatever that I think made it great was some sausage in there.
So that's different.
Little bits of stuff. Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite. I got in trouble too. Came home one night after, we were having a good time and I was a little hungry. And, I ate like half a pan of one of those. And, the folks were not that happy.
Oh, well. Bugged them.
Not good. All right. We're still doing What's Bugging You?
Yep.
Good morning, Pam. What's bugging you?
Well, it's not really bugging me, but I use the bread stuffing, and I put pepperoni in it, and I do stuff the turkey with it, and the oils from the pepperoni actually moistens the turkey also.
Pepperoni.
I like how you think. Now, you don't need a lot of it. You just need provides some flavoring. You're not
interesting.
You're gonna have to check that out.
See, I guess I'm so used to our traditional family what it tastes like from the way my family did it in Mississippi, three generations ago. So.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Look, I hate it when people mess with what I call my Thanksgiving, what I call the meal. I hate when people mess with it. It's not a time to experiment. Don't tell me what's new and chic and hip. No, I want all the great traditional stuff. But people try to mess with it. Everybody can do their own thing. I'm just saying, if you're inviting me, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, the good traditional stuff. Got to have the mashed potatoes.
Yep.
Got to have the green bean casserole. You got to have the stuffing and or dressing. Got to have the turkey.
Yeah, we're doing turkey and pork roast for some who aren't huge turkey fans.
Don't try to be a snob and get that cranberry stuff that doesn't come out of a can. If it doesn't look like preformed Jell-O.
Yeah.
No. What are you doing? What are you doing over there?
That's funny. And so many people say that. It's like it bugs them if it doesn't look like the can. I love that. That's funny.
It's just one of those traditions you kind of grow up with.
Yeah, I get it.
It's what it is. Yeah, we like that. That's why a lot of it's all considered like, comfort food.
Until you eat too much of it.
Uh-huh. Mm. Hey, coming up, dealing with all this stress and anxiety. Is it the holidays she's writing about or the re-election of Donald Trump? Michelle Obama wants to help you through these tough times.
Oh, thanks, Big Mike.
I'll explain coming up on 97.3 The Sky. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day.
From way over there.
Allowing Ukraine to use American missiles inside Russia.
The world's on fire right now.
To right here.
We have to get back to a great country.
We have an incredible once-in-a-generation opportunity.
And just down your street.
Safety.
And this is about infrastructure.
One weed company wrote it.
Touchdown, Gators!
97.3 The Sky has your world right here.
It blows my mind.
Hear about it first.
The Democrats.
The Republicans.
Isn't it nice to win?
Talk about it now.
Tells me everything I need to know.
The Sky has it right.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
So, did you think that fight was kind of fake or staged? I'm talking about Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. We'll get into that. But first, 7:34 on the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's a happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It's also Thanksgiving Eve. Thanks for being with us. And you've got top stories. Trump's favorability soars. Post-election, consumer confidence is at a 16-month high.
Nice.
These are good things. Also want to give you a chance to win Rock the Country tickets, two-day tickets, and possibly a pair of general admission plus tickets that you could win. So you need the keyword. It is ROCK, R-O-C-K. Text ROCK to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the two-day Rock the Country concert. Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and more. May 9th and 10th in Ocala. For information and tickets, they are on sale now at rockthecountry.com. And they're $139 each for the two-day event. And if you'd like a chance to win them, then you need to text ROCK to 20357 now. Date and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. All right, you probably heard it in the news a couple minutes ago. Looks like Trump's endorsing Florida State Senator Randy Fine and also CFO Jimmy Patronis. And it is what? Patronis for the Matt Gaetz seat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that would be Senator Randy Fine going for the Mike Waltz seat. So some developments there.
Move it on.
And yeah. Hopefully, I've heard good things about Patronis. Didn't he speak?
Yes, he was a black tie, blue jeans.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
He was. What a great personality that guy has, for sure. Yes, he stood out. All right, back to what we're talking about. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Here's the only people that I guess that should be upset one way or another, and that would be people who wagered on it. If you wagered on that fight... And then, you know, you watched it and you said, gosh, were they both giving it their all?
I'll tell you, early on, and maybe I was, you know, kind of misled by watching a couple of the training videos for Mike Tyson. He looked tired when he got there. Like, just watching him, he just did not look like the guy that I've been watching train that week, looking like, wow, he's going to come out. He's going to knock him out in two rounds.
He may have not really been ready. He had been hospitalized, 6-7 months previous, I want to say, or maybe even closer to the actual fight date. I know that he had blood transfusions. I know he lost, I think, 25 pounds, which is
That's
substantial.
True. True.
So he may not have really been ready.
Right.
And that's where it comes in, where like, well, we don't want to put this off anymore. It's a big payday for both of us. Look, if you're not, you know, completely up to snuff 100%, I'll tell you right now, I won't try to hurt you or whatever. You know what I mean? Like could that kind of conversation have taken place? I think it's quite possible, honestly. But Jake Paul will have none of that, or at least nobody talking about that.
All right.
Boxer and YouTube personality Jake Paul striking back at rumors that his fight with heavyweight champ Mike Tyson was somehow rigged and is calling the claims illogical and inane. Hmm. Well, I mean, think about it. What's illogical or inane about it? If you watch the fight, it didn't seem like, you know, either fighter was really giving their all.
Yeah.
And Jake Paul's 28, Tyson's 58. And, you know, a unanimous decision was won by Jake Paul, 80-72, 79-73, 79-73. The loss drops Tyson to 50-7. Paul advances his record to 11-1. Again, at the end of the day, and, you know, whether you want to hear this or not, I mean, it was a huge payday for both of them. A huge payday.
Oh, big time, yeah.
If you're going to say, oh, yeah, I mean, sports and money and influencing of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. So, you know, look, if you're going to bet, you bet at your own risk. If you are going to watch the match, in this case, at least it wasn't pay-per-view. I mean, if you had Netflix, you got to see the fight.
Well, most of it. And sometimes they stood still, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, the fact that the Netflix couldn't handle it.
But I thought, yeah, like you said, I didn't think Jake Paul was connecting the way he shoulda, coulda.
And they showed Mike Tyson pulling punches on video again.
Mm.
Again, you don't know, was that real video? You know, was he not really, you know, pulling the punch as much as he was, you know, pulling back the block? I don't know. But after the match, rumors started to circulate on social media that Tyson had thrown the fight and it was all rigged. No, if I had to guess, I would say that maybe Mike Tyson did this fight knowing he wasn't 100%, and they maybe made some sort of an agreement. Okay. In response to the rumor mill, Paul's Most Valuable Promotions released a full statement slamming the claims and insisting that the whole event was presented in good faith. Rigging a professional boxing match is a federal crime in the United States of America. Paul's company wrote in a statement, Paul versus Tyson was a professional match sanctioned by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulations. Both fighters, in good faith, performed to the best of their abilities with a goal of winning the fight. There were absolutely no restrictions, contractual or otherwise, around either fighter. Each boxer was able to use his full arsenal to win the fight. Any agreement to the contrary would violate boxing rules. And the statement even talked about, some of these things. It is further illogical and inane that MVP, in the debut of a hopeful long-term partnership with the world's biggest streamer, an organization that made its first ever foray into live professional sports with Paul versus Tyson, would even so much as consider such a perverse violation of the rules of competition. Well,
that's if you make any official agreements. That's not a couple of guys having a cup of coffee going, hey, look, I'm just not feeling it.
Well, if it's one trainer to the other.
That's true, too.
Hey, man, I'm gonna throw the towel on Tyson if you're going to force him to fight. You know, they have other contracts, too. Was there a penalty if, one of the fighters, for whatever reason, was a no-show? What were the parameters there? What was the legalese? And I'm not saying it was staged or it was fake, but just watching with my own eyes, I wondered. Mm-hmm. Quote, this was 100% real from beginning to end. It was so real that the guy had an ulcer, and we took a 5-month break to give him time to heal that ulcer to be able to perform at his best level. So that's what it was. So they removed the ulcer. My father had kind of a similar type scenario when I was a little kid, when I was about 13, and they removed 40% of his stomach.
Wow.
And yes, he lost a lot of blood. And yes, seeing your dad lying in a hospital bed with a bunch of tubes running in and out of him, and your dad's also like older than all the other, parents of kids my age. Yeah, it was a little disturbing. Now he recovered. But he didn't get it into a boxing ring.
See, I was fortunate with mine. They were able to go in and cauterize it. They didn't have to actually do surgery.
So. Yeah, no. They know a lot more about ulcers now than they used to. Yeah. But they still don't.
Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't lose a whole bunch of blood. Heart rate off the chart, high end, blood pressure crashing, and ended up in the back of an ambulance on the way to a hospital. So they're nothing to mess with, people. They're nothing to mess with, yeah.
Why can't you lower your stress level, man? Why'd you work yourself into such a tizzy?
Actually, a lot of it is actually, is it bacterial? It's actually not a lot of it is stress thing.
Yeah.
They've learned a lot about that, too.
Well, they used to say, I remember my dad, he drank Sanka because he didn't want caffeine.
Right.
That they thought that would, make it worse. Also, it was like, oh, yeah, drink milk, which.
Now they're saying no.
No, because calcium actually causes your stomach to produce acid.
And that's the thing. The stress thing can affect you because, if you are producing acid, that's going to irritate the ulcer. But
and stress also knocks down your immune efficiency.
Sure.
So there's that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So straighten up, man.
Yeah, let's grab some turkey. That's what I need.
Oh, by the way, real quick to finish the story up.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think, it doesn't matter because the two fighters earned a heavy haul. Tyson, $20 million. Paul got $40 million that night.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
So, the payday, and I don't think Mike Tyson's going to – he's not going to get back in the ring, I don't think. I don't think he should.
No, I don't think. What's he going to prove now? Been there, done that. I tried. I was 58. Okay, good.
But we're going to fix your stress.
Okay,
right?
I'm ready.
As you know, I play doctor every once in a while. And
and occasionally he will stay at a Holiday Inn Express and be a lot smarter the next day.
Exactly right.
So what are you going to do to relieve
I'm going to bring in the big doc, Big Mike, Michelle Obama.
Okay.
She has a self-help workbook, Overcoming, because there's a lot of anxieties, with the holidays. Right. Or was this written with the idea that the anxieties and challenging periods of your life...
Post-election?
Yes.
Yeah.
Obama shared a video holding the workbook for the first time, describing it as a timely gift or purchase. It remains unclear if she's suggesting it's timely just weeks after the Trump big win, or it's the holidays.
Right.
But apparently she didn't get such a warm welcome on social media after touting her self-help workbook, Overcoming.
Wow.
All you have to do, write a couple of books, buy some property in Hawaii and Martha's Vineyard, and you can overcome that stress. Right?
Wow. Is that all it takes?
That's it. Here's the workbook.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Good luck.
Yeah.
All right. No, we're done with the Mike Tyson story.
Oh, I'm a Big Mike.
We're done with Big Mike.
Oh, that Big Mike. Okay. All right.
I'm going to say a prayer for Greg between chuckles.
Exactly.
7:45 right now. I can almost smell the turkey cooking. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, 97.3 The Sky. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. Surely you jest. No, I'm not kidding, and don't call me Shirley.
But I'm bummed.
That kind of humor was the kind of thing you'd expect in maybe a movie called Airplane.
Yes.
Back in 1980.
Wow.
Recall the movie. I recall literally crying and laughing so hard. Now, I don't know that I've ever laughed that much that hard during a movie ever. And yeah, Airplane. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was hilarious. The guy who was the brilliant director, that Jim Abrams, he made it to the age of 80, but he has passed away.
Aww.
He directed Airplane, Naked Gun, kind of started things off with the comedic style. He worked with the Zucker brothers, if you're familiar with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah, so Jerry and David Zucker, and he kind of teamed up with them, and it was a whole new style of comedy with all the quips and the sight gags and the jokes and stuff. And, I just thought it was great stuff. But it started in 77. They had Kentucky Fried Movie. And I vaguely remember that. I remember kids in school talking about it. I don't think I saw it right when it first came out. But 1980, Airplane, oh, yeah. Yeah. And so these guys, yeah, they did. They changed in many ways the way that comedies were done, the way they were written, the way they were directed. Apparently, they stumbled across a 1957 film entitled Zero Hour, in which former pilot Ted Stryker had to overcome his fear of flying and land a plane that had an incapacitated crew. The Zuckers and Abrams saw it as a perfect vehicle for parody.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
Airplane
funny.
Was born. And they used the same name, right? Ted Stryker? Yeah, I believe they did, didn't they? It was definitely Ted some. Anyway, so they spoofed all kinds of other things. Poseidon Adventure, Earthquake, Towering Inferno. And this was a big, big hit.
Well, I mean, how out of the box was it to have the actress that played Mrs. Cleaver... speaking jive. I mean, just out of the box, totally no boundaries, funny spoof. It was great. It was fun. And everybody liked it.
People lined up slapping.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The biggest struggle was to cast straight actors as opposed to comedians.
Yes, that's true.
Well, and that reminds me of Leslie Nielsen playing Detective Frank Drebin.
I did a great job.
Well, here's the funny thing. So I'm exposed to this kind of humor, and then I go back and see some older movies where he's a serious actor.
Yep.
And you kind of start laughing at every line.
And they're not supposed to be funny.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. A lot of times when actors cross over like that, depending on your age, you don't know they had a serious acting career.
Exactly.
So, well, look at the guy that played Al Bundy. Well, he's played detectives in movies and TV shows, but then there he is, you know, sitting on his couch.
So. I think he's probably closer to his real personality.
Yeah, probably so.
Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Shep, good morning.
Well, guys, I can tell you, as an amateur actor, I took theater arts. It is a lot more difficult doing comedy than it is doing straight drama. But you were talking about Airplane, and one part that spoke to me culturally, you remember when they were trying to land the plane, and they had Air Israel, please clear the runway, and the plane had the tallit, the beard, the hat, everything. I was useless for 2 minutes after seeing that. Another scene was, if you might remember, Blazing Saddles, when Mel Brooks and the rest of them were dressed up like Native American Indians, and they cornered the black family in the wagon. Well, I saw that on a midnight show, and I was the only one in the theater cracking up, busting out laughing, and everyone was saying, "What's so funny?" I said, "They're speaking Yiddish, you know." I could not believe it. And he said, "Well, can you translate for us?" You know, and I translated a little bit. And I said, and the best one was, well, I can't do it in Yiddish anymore. But he says, "Have you ever seen such a thing? They're darker than us." You know. So anyway, guys, just that's really good for Thanksgiving Eve. I'm on my way to physical therapy right now, and I'm going to get back and start pre-cooking for tomorrow. It's just my wife and I, but. We're going to have a good time together, because we always do on Thanksgiving. It's just us. So happy Thanksgiving, and see you later, guys.
All right.
Have a good one.
Right back at you. You and your family. Enjoy. A lot to be thankful for. Have fun with that physical therapy. It's always a good time.
That's funny, though. Here, he's the only one understanding what they're saying in the theater. They're like, "What's so funny?" That's awesome. I get to see that.
You know, that's probably what we need now is, more comedies, but... I guess because of political correctness, it's just...
Oh, he mentioned Blazing Saddles. My goodness, some of the... Yeah. But here's the weird twist we have. Because we look at, one of my favorites from way back when, Don Rickles. And you look at the things that he did in those celebrity roasts. And it was racial. That was a lot of his thing. And everybody laughed about it. I don't care if you were Mr. T or Sidney Poitier, you laughed because it was funny stuff. And while that, for some reason... In so many parts of our society is unacceptable. The roasts that they do, are just disgusting. It's all sexual oriented.
Oh, you mean as of late?
They cross the lines to be insulting, but yet the stuff that was genuinely funny to everybody, it's like you're not really allowed to do much anymore. It's a weird line.
And I agree that it's gone too far, but is that our age? If we were younger, would it seem funny to us and not...
But I'm not saying that it's not funny. I just think that it's like, do you have to go to the lowest common denominator to be funny? And that's kind of what they do with that. Well, a lot of comedians do these things.
And they are extremely graphic in the way that you do it.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Henny Youngman would say, take my wife, please.
But a bunch.
Now it would be...
Oh. Yeah, right. That's a great example.
Yeah.
But and I got to see Don Rickles once when I was visiting my brother in L.A. It was when he worked for NBC. He got tickets for the Tonight Show because he's right there on the property. And Arnold Schwarzenegger and his wife were supposed to be the guest, and the kids were sick or something. So basically, he was the fill-in guy that when Carson needed somebody, he got Rickles on the phone.
Yeah, because he always has some shtick ready to go.
I'm so glad he was, because it was great to see him live and hanging out there with Carson.
This may sound like satire, but it is not meant to be humorous. Warning. Reep. Climate emergency. John Kerry claims that the U.S. is on the brink of needing to declare such a climate emergency. He is going to rush around the world on private jets and tell everybody. That's coming up. 97.3 The Sky. Happy Thanksgiving.